Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast. This is Dr. John Stamey live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina on a dark and stormy night, but it's always fun to be here at ScaryCast, the creepiest hour on radio. Our co-hosts are here with us. Papa Stroh from Emerald Isle, North Carolina. How are you doing tonight?
Doing much better. Great to be with you guys, as always. And
glad to have you.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here in ScaryCast.
That's good. We are always glad to have you. I certainly enjoyed a few hours ago being on your WCW Retro. It's always fun hanging out with you. So glad to have you, Devin Tate. We're so glad to have you back. We had technology problems last week. Glad to have you here. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you. I missed you guys. I'm good. It's a nice summer solstice eve here, which is also means that tomorrow is Make Music Day. So that's a big day for me in Hollywood.
Awesome.
Okay.
Welcome back. I missed you too.
It's a big concert tomorrow at Hollywood and Highland.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Great.
Who's playing?
It's a bunch of just local artists. So there's a couple of music schools in Hollywood, and then obviously there's a lot of musicians who live in Hollywood too. So we just kind of try to get a good mix of the neighborhood representing different types of music and different types of artists.
Awesome.
Well, that's great. We'll have to get out there sometime, Papa Stroh. That actually sounds like a lot of fun. So
sounds really cool.
You represent us well, Devin. Okay.
I will.
All right, great. Well, tonight we've got, as usual, a good and special guest. This one comes as a reference, as a friend of ours, Angelia Shear. We call her the UFO girl. She is the executive director of Tennessee MUFON, and she's from Nashville, and she's out there investigating UFOs. She's currently finishing a book, and we're very proud of her. She's going to have that out fairly soon. In fact, she just had a huge blast on Facebook here about 30 minutes ago, and a bunch of us got it, and it was kind of neat to talk about it with her. We got Paul Herring, and Paul is from Nashville right now. He is out there in San Francisco. Paul, how you doing tonight?
I'm cold. It's really weird to be out here in San Francisco, and I'm not used to this kind of weather, man. It's really cool out here. And it's June, and it's crazy. Just I'm used to the heat, the southern humidity, and out here I need a jacket.
I can tell you right now it's a cool, balmy 74 degrees, and this is as cool as it's going to get this week. So I certainly understand. Now you host a podcast. First of all, tell us a little bit about the podcast that you host. Then we're going to get right into one of our favorite topics, which is UFOs.
All right. Yeah, just probably a little over a month ago, I started a podcast called Mysterious Huntsman. And I just wanted to have a platform where everyone could come on and just tell their stories of any kind of strange encounters they've had with anything, really, without the fear of ridiculement or judgment. I think it's important for people to be allowed to talk about it, these things, without, you know, their friends or family calling them nuts or crazy or whatever. I know there's a lot of shows like that out there, but, you know, I don't think there are any really in Nashville or out of Nashville. I just thought I'd try to be the first.
Well, that's great. I can tell you that in running some of the conferences that I do, like, especially the first one that I started that was a paranormal event was the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And I would be standing downstairs at Bays Mountain Park at the Farmstead Museum, and people would come in, and they'd look around, they'd look at me, they'd hand me their $5, then they'd wait until no one was around, they'd say, I've got a story, can I tell you? And I'd say, sure. And I probably collected 50 or 60 stories in the first 2 years of the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And I know exactly what you mean. This past weekend, I was at Space Expo. It is the Spruce Pine Alien Conference and Expo. Spruce Pine is up in the mountains of North Carolina. Beautiful, beautiful town right next to Little Switzerland. And it was interesting. There were so many people that wanted to come by my table and talk to me about events that had happened to them. And I know that when I was up there, I gave a talk. I just released a new book. It's called Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. And once I got up there and talked, I looked at everybody straight in the eye, and I said, you know what? I can't help it. This is what happened to me. And, you know, just don't laugh, whatever. And nobody laughed when I told the story of me and my parents seeing a UFO together. And, of course, my father didn't want to talk about it after it happened. And it kind of let me know that he was very uncomfortable on the subject. And so it's happened to me. Several things have happened to me. They've been a little bit on the creepy side. I can tell you that I've been with a number of my good friends, including Papa Stroh, and some things happened that scared me out of my wits. Now, Papa Stroh, I'm not going to mention what it was, but you remember very recently I was scared out of my wits, and you were standing right there, weren't you?
Yeah, it's very rare to see Dr. John in a precarious mood. But, yeah, that night, he was definitely freaked out about what he saw. So it was very entertaining to see, honestly. But
well, I tell you what, Papa Stroh has traveled with me so many places. I just don't want to have an event without him because, first of all, he's very popular, and he's a lot of fun, and he's a very good friend. But I tell you what, we were at a location and trees were moving pretty hard and there was no wind. I mean, it was just creepy, frightening, and I was scared. I don't mind sharing that with people. It's okay to get scared. Devin, you had an encounter with something with I can't remember what it was, but it was a paranormal being in an alleyway there in the Los Angeles area. You were scared, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was more like creeped out, but also scared.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind using the S word. I think it's okay. I was just up there, and we were talking about UFOs all weekend. There are a lot of folks that have seen things up in the nighttime sky. And they've actually had experiences meeting individuals from unidentified flying objects. Well, you know, that's okay. Paul, have you had? And this, I know this is a loaded question. I didn't tell you I was going to ask this, but have you had any experiences that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, you know, years ago when I was a kid, and we're talking, well, maybe a teenager, but I remember it very well because it was a family reunion at my parents' home, and there were several of us standing on the front porch. It was a hot summer night in southern Alabama, and there was a lake to my left and a big cornfield to my right, and a lot of us noticed this light sitting above the lake, and we first thought it was a helicopter, and everybody was thinking, well, why don't we hear the motor, the chopper? I mean, the lake was only maybe 300 or 400 yards away from us. And the light just sat there, and it started moving up, kept going up, and then it took off down, looped around the cornfield, and went straight up in the sky. And there was, I know my mom saw it, several of my cousins, a couple of my aunts, and kind of freaked everybody out. So that kind of got me wondering what the heck was going on out there. And you know, we've all seen the little lights in the sky. We can't really identify. It doesn't look like an airplane. It doesn't move. It doesn't track like one. Way up, you know, you'll see something doing like a hard 90-degree turn. No, we don't have any, or not to our knowledge, we don't have anything capable of doing that without ripping someone to shreds in the cockpit, you know.
Yep. I certainly understand
right.
That. Well, about how many years ago was that? Maybe just about.
That was probably the early 80s.
The early 80s, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
that was No, I was going to say that was
okay.
just like in South Alabama or a little closer to like the Gulf Coast area.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that we've had a little bit of a change in paradigm. People are not as afraid to talk about seeing unexplained things in the sky, unexplained beings or whatever. I know, let's say 20 years ago, people would always, when I'd bring up the subject of UFOs, they'd all laugh, they'd all try to walk toward the door and leave me in the room. But these days, everybody seems to have some type of a story, some type of a paranormal story. And I guess we feel a little more freedom to talk about it, I guess because a lot of people are talking about it. We're having more conferences. There, you know, I've got to give credit to the Ancient Aliens show. I was privileged to be on a panel this weekend with Mike Barra from Ancient Aliens. And he and I were talking. We were table buddies as we were signing books at the end of the panel. And he said, you know, John, you're right. Everybody has a UFO story or some type of story that they didn't have 20 years ago. And it's really kind of refreshing. He said, those are the people that watch Ancient Aliens. Those are the ones that have made us successful because everybody's got a story. And the Ancient Aliens idea of, you know, something came here a long time ago and it may still be coming here, that's a very popular idea. And because we have, it's interesting, we have Finding Bigfoot. Now, of course, that's gone now. But, you know, the Bigfoot became very popular. And folks started coming out of the woodwork with their Bigfoot stories. I mean, we had a ton of them at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and, of course, at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And now the UFO, I mean, we don't have very many UFO conferences. I'm so glad that Jim put together the Spruce Pine Alien Conference and Expo. It was great. We had 3,500 people there, and I bet you at least half of them had a UFO story. So people don't feel so embarrassed about it anymore. They're kind of glad to get it off their chest. And so I'd like to go around. I'd like to do a round table. We do this sometimes. I want to see, what do you think about the UFO issue? And where has it come from? Where is it going? And what do you think about it? I'll start with Devin, and then I'm going to go to Papa Stro, and then I'm going to go with Paul. So, Devin, what do you think about the UFO? It's a little bit of an epidemic these days, but what do you think about it?
Yeah, well, I think people probably, because of the Internet, people have been able to share their stories with people that have had similar experiences. So that's probably part of it. People are more comfortable now that they've been able to, talk about those things with other people. I grew up, you know, near Russell, Kansas, and there was a pretty well-known documented UFO sighting back in the 80s when I was growing up there. And a lot of it is, you know, the sky is so clear out there. You can see a lot more than you can. Like out here in LA, there's so much light pollution and other pollution that it's hard to see a lot. So, you know, I think as people in those remote areas that have the better viewing are now more connected with other people, they can, share their stories with other people easier.
Well, definitely. I mean, I agree. I mean, the ability to share things, especially on the Internet, and because we've got more events going on, you know, that people can go to, I just think, you know, I've been talking with a number of my friends that are in the Bigfoot and UFO world, and they agree with me that these events are just going to get more and more popular because folks do have a story to tell, and they don't want to feel estranged from everybody else, and so they can meet folks that have got other stories, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's a positive thing for the psyche of our civilization and our culture. Papa Stro, what do you think about all the recent, you know, sightings of UFOs and talk about Bigfoot, and how do you think that factors into our little world here?
Well, it especially with the recent situation, I really think, honestly, it's a bittersweet deal. First off, in a way, it's a good thing that, like you mentioned, that people that have had sightings and experiences can now come up front and tell them without being shamed for it and being ridiculed for it, more or less. But at the same token, and it makes you wonder, with the government finally admitting about the sightings and so forth, and what's really the scheme of things, what's really the big plan going forward, if it's, they were just now releasing public knowledge about UFO sightings, and what makes you wonder, okay, what now, right? I mean, Hollywood has been, like, warning us for years about UFO sightings. It's been showing us for years about UFO sightings through movies, through television series, etc., if you've really been paying attention. And it's like we've been, as a society, programmed to accept it more now through television and film. And now that the government is coming forth about, they're admitting about actual sightings and even discussing it with the hierarchy of the elites in news that we hear, it really makes you wonder about what's really going on with the picture in the world. So, like I say, it's great, but that it's happening, but it also raises a lot of more questions.
I think you're 100% right that not only are we getting some answers, but for every answer we seem to get more and more questions, and that's very, very important to realize. Yes, there seems to be an element of the government involved in so many of these sightings. Don't want to talk about it too much. Don't want to upset anybody. But there seems to be a lot. And I guess it was very positive. It's been out on the news how the Navy pilots have so many stories. And they're starting to be acknowledged. I like what President Trump said. I mean, I hate to say it, but I thought he gave a great remark. He said, well, I'm not particularly interested in them because I've got a lot to deal with, but we'll talk about it. And I really like that. He's not opposed to it. I remember when President George W. Bush was on Jay Leno, and Jay Leno said, what about the UFO situation? And President Bush, this was Bush 44, he looked and said, well, there's nothing I can say. Right, wrong, left, right, up or down, there's nothing I can say. He would neither disavow it nor would he agree with it. And we have to acknowledge that there's something going on. I mean, from Roswell to Area 51, out in Rachel, Nevada, and all that, to the massive sightings in Phoenix, Houston, Texas, to what we call the Brown Mountain Lights and the Marfa Lights. We don't know what those are, and we just they're there. The things that are going on, the government's sensitive to them, and we just keep moving on as a society. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's not going to change our life tomorrow, but we do need to talk about it so that we have a better understanding of what's going on in this world. Well, now, Paul, you're on the hot seat. What do you think about the rash of UFO sightings and cryptid sightings? What do you think about them?
I love it, man. I was just sitting here thinking that, in this age of technology and this, it's so easy to get our hands on any kind of information. I think people are starting to, look into these things for themselves. It's giving them more confidence or becoming more brave to come forward and talk about this stuff. And they're actually becoming smarter because they're kind of throwing away old superstition or old legends out the door, and they're looking at it more as a more scientific approach. Like, hey, there are billions of stars, billions of galaxies. Maybe these guys like Paul and you guys were onto something forever, And I'm about ready to say, okay, suck it. We've been right the whole time, you know. But it's
– Well, yeah.
I don't know. I think something has kind of happened, and I think the government has recently had something that happened to where they say, we better ramp this thing up. We better kind of give a little bit of soft disclosure. We better start telling the people little by little that maybe there's something to this whole deal before it just really shocks, before we really come out with it. So I think something has kind of happened. I think the veil is thinning on a lot of these topics, and I think it's only a matter of time.
Well, that's interesting. Now, I like the term soft disclosure. I have not heard that before, but is that your term or is that one you've heard?
Oh, it's just one I've heard. I mean, there's a lot of circles out there, like, they're just giving us bits and pieces, you know, not just to come right out and just, you know, bombard the or scare the public completely. It's kind of like what Pop Stroh was saying about the kind of indoctrination to the public over the years of the movies and everything. You know, we've been getting desensitized to a lot of this stuff, so maybe it won't be such a shock if that's what they're going for, you know.
Right. I can tell you a very interesting thing happened about 2 years ago, and I saw it on both the news channels of CNN and Fox, when the public information minister of Iran came out and said, the most unusual thing, he's, you know, Iran is the base of the oldest airport in the world. 7,000 years ago, UFOs landed here. And he was also including the entire Sumerian culture. And I thought it was great. People didn't know how to react. And, you know, Iran is a very close country to us. And the fact that they would announce something like this, I thought was, you know, quite unusual. It's quite stunning. But, you know, there are records, and we have seen them from Egypt, from Sumeria, from a lot of places where they show pictures of what we would flat-out call UFOs. There's so many classical paintings that actually have pictures of UFOs in them. I mean, this is something that we haven't been plagued with. I wouldn't say plagued, but I'd say this is something that we've seen forever. And we just haven't really been talking about it. There hasn't been the dialogue that we have now. Now, it doesn't seem like anyone's coming out quite yet and saying, well, you know, we're going to have a UFO landing on the White House lawn. But then again, I mean, you know, that was the subject of a great movie starring Michael Rennie in, like, what was it, 1954? You know, that somebody came down, landed, and wanted to talk with us and tell us we had to do a better job. We had to not blow up ourselves. You know, we just couldn't do that. And it was a very strange film, you know, The Day the Earth Stood Still. And I guess that, you know, what I'd like to do is I'd like to say what has been, and I'm going to go right back around the opposite way. I'm going to go with Paul, then Papa Stroh, then Devin. And I'm going to ask you, what has been your favorite UFO film? And what do you think it has taught our society about extraterrestrial life? So, Paul, you're back on the hot. You know what? The reason I say you're on the hot seat is because Devin and Papa Stroh know they're always on the hot seat with us. But you're now part of the crew. So, what is your favorite film, and what has it taught us about the potential of contact?
I'd have to go with Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I remember being 10 years old watching this movie on the drive-in theater, and I mean, when everybody left there, our minds were reeling. You know, the whole drive-in, you know, we were talking about the movie for months after that. But I honestly think that, you know, after researching it a little bit and you know, especially nowadays, just kind of picking it apart, I think that was a pretty close documentary of some real events that actually happened. But
okay,
I think. What's that?
I said, okay.
Oh.
I was encouraging you there, absolutely.
Well, you know, and I think Spielberg did a great job, kind of bringing that to light, showing, you know, starting off with a normal blue collar guy, a family. Well, he started off with the world scientists, you know, getting around and seeing these things and talking to different people who, where the sun came out at night, and then coming to Indiana, Roy Neary, who's getting sunburned late at night under railroad track or over railroad tracks by these craft, and it's just kind of like a big snowball effect to where they just really couldn't hide it anymore. But I think he did a great job telling that story just to try to bring things to light. And as far as what I said about the bits and pieces being maybe a documentary, I think, or I've heard at least, I have no proof, but I've heard a lot of researchers talking about that was possibly recreation of something that happened a long time ago to Holloman Air Force Base, where, you know, they actually came down, you know, our government officials met with these ETs, and it just kind of went from there, and Spielberg was kind of privy to a lot of the information, or somebody had kept leaking stuff to him. So that's probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay. Well, thank you on that. I mean, yeah, it does go back to our government and the stories that we've got about Dwight Eisenhower meeting with aliens. I mean, you know, people don't want to talk about that, but golly, it's like Davy Crockett meeting UFO. I'm sorry, Davy Crockett meeting with Bigfoot and having an encounter with him, along with Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, we have these legends. They're not so far-fetched as, you know, I can say that thanks to Teddy Roosevelt, who supposedly had an encounter with Bigfoot, we have a National Park Service system, and we do not allow drones to be flown over that more than 30 minutes after sundown or 30 minutes before sundown. So, you know, there are a number of substantial evidence things that have happened, and we need to look at them, and we need to think about them. But that's a great one. Papa Stro, what's your favorite UFO movie, and what do you think it's taught us?
I have two, actually, and they both have a similar concept, which the V series. I'm not talking about the remake. I'm talking about the original V series.
Oh yeah.
Yes, with Mark Singer.
Yep.
And also the V series and They Live.
Yeah.
Reason being, they both have in common the fact that extraterrestrials mixed their way in society with our own society, if you will, into politics and so forth to gain power, in which in both the series and the movie They Live is revealed that they were among us. They're already among us, and the fact that they have a power and control and offering deals with the human race on certain things like quote unquote time travel, resources, et cetera. And then the fact that they subliminally feed the masses with different messages, if you will, to conform to their way of life, more or less. So I think it's fascinating. And then also the fact that if you look around in today's world and see how easily people can be led into different things through television, media, magazines, newspapers, what have you. And it's a very strong message in which people can easily follow something through different means of subliminal messages and what all we do in each and every day life.
Wow.
With that, it could be a good thing, or in the wrong hands, it could be a very dangerous thing, as we've seen in both the series and the movie.
You've hit the nail on the head, sir. I think you're very right about that. Well, thanks for those, especially they live starring one of our favorite people, Roddy Piper, the great wrestler, Hall of Famer, and it's a frightening film the first time you see it. It really is. So thanks for bringing that one up to us. That's a really good one. Now, Devin, what have you got?
Yeah, you know, I would have to agree and say Close Encounters. That was such a huge movie to me when I was a kid. My dad even took us to Devil's Tower in Wyoming on a vacation. So we stayed at a campground right nearby there, and they actually showed the movie, like, out, and you know, an outdoor, like, on an outdoor movie screen at the campground. So that was really, really cool to watch that as a kid. I also really was a huge fan of the show Roswell. It was a TV show on the WB in the early 2000s. Until a point where it switched to UPN, and then it kind of went off the rails a little bit. But I thought that was really cool because it kind of, you know, it was these high school students that were actually, you know, from the Roswell incident. They grew up. They were basically aliens that had grown up on Earth, only knowing Earth. But, you know, in addition to the typical high school experience, they also filtered it through this whole knowledge that they were from a whole different, you know, planet somewhere far away. So it was, I really liked that show.
Wow, that's a good one. Yeah. I guess I'm gonna do two movies that sound silly, but they're not. And those are E.T., Harry. Those very, you know, they're father knows best. These are kind of movies. They're fun. It's like we meet the alien, we meet Bigfoot. Well, you know, it can happen. And I would say, from what I know, there are so many stories of meeting aliens and meeting Bigfoot that they just don't go out of style. And I can tell you a story. I have a very good friend down in Georgia, Brainy. He's one of the best artists in Georgia. And he has a story that they were out on a camping trip and they lost their little dog. But he had to go take his grandfather home, get his medicine. And he had to. And he said, well, just I hope you're okay, kiddo, and that's what he called the dog. They took the dog home, they took the grandfather home, they got him his medicine, and they came back in the freezing January cold of North Georgia. And lo and behold, when they went back to the very spot where they had left, he said, I saw two arms put the dog on the ground, and he came running back to it. And, you know, story. That story will appear in Foxfire magazine, which is one of the most famous magazines. It's a quarterly issue of Appalachian history, culture, craft, and legend. And that's going to appear in Foxfire in about 3 weeks. And so people do have experiences. And that's what I like about DC. You know, you got a little dude. He's there, and he happens to keep an alien in his room. He's trying to help him. He's trying to shelter him. And I think that says a lot about our culture, is that, you know, if we see someone that's in trouble, we try to help them. I mean, it goes all the way back to my favorite Martian. And I don't know if anyone remembers that. I had to see it on Nickelodeon. But my favorite Martian, you know, you take a Martian into your home, you help him out, you try to, you know, you try to make his life better, help him get back. We look at Mork and Mindy. Does anybody remember Mork and Mindy? Oh goodness, nobody remembers Mork and Mindy. That was Robin Williams.
Yeah, I do. Mork and Robin Williams.
Yeah, the great.
Okay, I couldn't hear you the first time. I couldn't hear you the first time. That's why I couldn't.
Yeah. It was Mork and Mindy, and the great Robin Williams playing the space alien, and we loved it. I mean, it captured the public's imagination to the fact that it was the number one show on television for 2 years. And Mork and Mindy was something that we all love. This is Mork calling Ork. And we love the individual connection with aliens or with Bigfoot or whoever. We seem to really like that connection, and we seem to really want it. We want it to be friendly. We don't want it to be threatening. But that's what we want. That's what we seem to want. We want it to be on our own terms. Now, I don't know if it's going to be on our terms or not. But the fact is, we love the connection. We want to learn about it. And we don't seem to be afraid of it. Cindy on Mork and Mindy was not certainly not afraid of Mork. And nobody seems to be afraid of aliens if you get to meet them and talk to them. I've had several people tell me their story about, you know, meeting aliens, and once they got to meet them and talk to them, they weren't afraid. They just wanted to be around them and talk to them and find out. And I think in general, we're a curious race. We want to talk to them. We want to find out. We don't want to have any type of combative relationship. Now, we talk about the government and how they want to protect us and all this stuff, but I don't know. And I think, you know, what we'll do is the last round of questioning that we'd like to do is we want to talk about your impression of the government and how they are trying to meddle with all of this, from Bigfoot to UFOs to cryptids, whatever. If you have any knowledge or any impressions, I'd like to hear what you got to think. We'll go back in the same order. We'll start with Paul, our guest. Then we'll go with Papa Stroh and Devin, and then I'll close that one out. So, Paul, what do you think about the government and their seemingly heavy-handed role in the UFO and the cryptid world? What do you think?
Well, I think that, I mean, we all can agree there's definitely some type of agenda. I mean, it's throughout history that they've had their hands in everything, whether it's, you know, paranormal or whether it was just the normal day-to-day political stuff that goes on. But it's like they've always had a little backseat or a little shadow government, if you will, just kind of in the background, pulling strings, trying to keep us in the dark. And I really can't. There's so many theories out there as to why they're doing it, so I can't really pinpoint it to one specific thing. But I don't know. I have a lot to say, but I really don't know how to say it. But I really think that they are involved, and I think they're just feeding us bits of information, whether it's disinformation or if it's the real thing, and they're trying to just kind of bring it out to us little by little. Or do they have a, you know, more of a nefarious agenda for their gain, which, you know, knowing the governments, that could be the case too. So, like I said, there's so much going on in my brain right now. I can't really speak to it, but I don't really trust what they're doing, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Or the way they're handling it, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think we understand that. So you don't really trust them. And you know that they're doing something, but what in the heck are they doing, right?
Yeah, and why are they doing it? So.
Wow. But, okay, Papa Stroh, what do you think about the role of the government in all this?
It's the boy that cried wolf all over again, basically. It's like you get all these stories about, the wolf's coming, and never shows up. But when a general article shows up, everybody freaks out because the real deal is here, basically. So that's why it's always important to have your eyes and ears open and not take everything at face value. Because what may come in peace may be the total opposite, vice versa. Just like Mars Attacks, you know, I mean, it was a comedy.
Mars Attacks.
But, I mean...
Yeah,
where the aliens were saying, we come in peace, but they were killing everybody. Zapping them with lasers, right? So, I mean, you really have to be careful. I mean, what someone, like Jim mentioned earlier, about the agenda of things. And
and not everything is being told and being accept everything you hear, basically. You really have to have your eyes and ears open and do your research, and don't be afraid to question things, because what things not may not appear what they seem. So
exactly. Well, that's very, very well put, and I certainly agree with that. And I love you bringing in Mars Attacks. Absolutely. What a great film. And yeah, they're killer. And they weren't. Devin, what do you think? What do you think of the role of the government?
I don't know how much role I think the government has. I'm not sure that the government is sophisticated enough to, you know, really have any detail or involvement or knowledge or ability to cover anything up if it did have anything. Maybe there's some subsection, or maybe it's even non-governmental agencies that are, you know, responsible for that. But I'm not sure that the United States government is even on that level to be able to participate in that realm.
Okay. That's certainly a viable thought. It really is.
You know what? Devin has a point there, in which, you know, there are things that can be covered up. There's things the public don't need to know, you know, and that's the prerogative. But the thing is, at the same token, there are things bigger out there than all of us. And you can't control it. You can't control nature. You can't control things that happen in our universe. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that ties in with my opinion of this whole thing. It's a little bit about control. If we had the day the Earth stood still, Michael Rennie or Keanu Reeves, and they popped down on the front lawn of the White House, or we had an entire clan of Bigfoot just show up at a resort and say, here we are, let's talk, it would absolutely petrify the entire country. I think we have to be careful. I think the government understands. I mean, you know, a lot of folks talk about conspiracy theories, and they say, oh, the government's doing this. They're trying to keep this and this and this. But In one way, I believe they have to be careful, because they could lose control if our government, which is the governing body, which has some sort of control over what we do, if all of a sudden a bunch of UFOs land and want to start talking on Fox News or CNN, or if we have a bunch of Bigfoot just show up and start talking to the local Channel 6 news, wherever Channel 6 is, it will create pandemonium. And that's something that I don't know. I mean, it would be a national emergency. It could change everything that we've got. People would be frightened. There's a great short story about a boy that comes back from dying. He just shows back up at his college. He talks to his roommate. And the third day after, he goes to church, and he disappears. He does a carbon copy of what Jesus did. And he was absolutely sought after by the police. They were frightened of him. Everyone was scared. So if we see things like this, really don't match our standard go to work, come home, eat dinner, play with the kids, and go to bed, it is going to cause pneumonia. It really is. And I certainly do understand the government's point that we have to be careful about this, because if we're not, you know, we could have a riot. I mean, the whole world could become so unsettled. I mean, we don't know what could happen. So there certainly is the case that the government needs to be careful about what they know. Now, as long as they don't take, and this is the most important caveat, as long as the government doesn't take that a step too far. Now, I was talking about a show earlier tonight. There's a new technology out from Rice University. They are working with DARPA, which is government. It's a psychic hood that you can put on, and you can direct drones and aircraft through your thoughts. Now, don't tell me that you can't also read other people's thoughts, and that's what's scary about it. We don't know where it's going, but that just came out 2 days ago, and I'm very fortunate that I found it, and I'm going to be searching more and more about that, and I'm going to be talking to some of the developers. I want to see what's going on, because this could revolutionize things, but it's also very frightening. We all remember the Gilligan's Island episode where all of a sudden everybody ate this little plant and they could read everyone else's mind, and it wasn't good. But we've got to be careful. This is not the kind of thing we need to play with. I know the government, they're trying to do the best thing that they can, but who only knows what really is out there, what we might discover, the technology that we have that we can start reading people's minds. It's going to happen, and we need to be careful.
Well, it's just like the old saying goes. I mean, just as big as an entity may be, there's always something that much bigger.
You are 100% right, Papa Stro. So I guess what we've done, we talked a little bit about UFOs. We've talked about their cultural significance. We've talked about where the government's role is, what should it be, how big should it be or whatever. And it's good food for thought, because there are going to be a lot of people. There'll be a couple hundred people that listen to this podcast. Think about it. Shoot us an email. Shoot us a text. Shoot us a message on Facebook, Hearcast, and let us know what you think, because it's important that we have this dialogue. So first of all, I'm going to thank my co-host. I want to thank Papa Stro. You're always great to have on, so thanks for being with us tonight, Papa.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Devin, thanks for checking in with us from Hollywood, California. It's very important to have that Hollywood opinion. It matters a lot, so thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
Absolutely. And Paul, thanks a lot for being here with us and sharing your opinions. And I want everyone to check out your podcast. And if you'll shoot me a text message or something, I'll make sure that we put that up on scarycast.com and on the Facebook page so that people can go and listen to you. And I want you to have a great time. And I hope it warms up for you, buddy, in San Francisco. Because I hate that West Coast cold. Terrible, isn't it?
It is, but it's really nice. It's absolutely beautiful out here. I'm having a great time, man, but thank you so much for having me on. And Papa Stro and Devin, it was great to meet you guys and just talk with you, have this round table discussion. I loved it.
Well, you are welcome. Oh,
such a pleasure having you on, really.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Papa Stro. And guys, it's great. We'll be back next. Now, next week, we start celebrating World UFO Day, which is actually July the 2nd. We've got some great guests next week. I'm not going to talk about them, but one is a former board member of the Monroe Institute, where they study psychic phenomena, and another one is a martial arts instructor that has done some amazing work with his students. And in terms of the paranormal, that's all I can say. It's going to be a blast. We'll be back. I'm out at 8 a.m. Everybody for being with us here late at night. So we'll talk to you next week on the one and only Scarycast and on the Scarycast Network. Be sure to check out next Monday at 3 p.m. will be Bigfoot and Company with myself and Matt Delp. That's always a good time. And then, of course, we'll be back next Wednesday night with Pop Culture Stars. Next Thursday night, our buddy Papa Stro with MCW Retro. And then we'll be right back here at 1 a.m. for Scarycast. So this is Dr. John saying thanks a lot for being with us. I'll check in with everybody after the show. Be good, and thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.